Well, I've met a lot of people in many places that we have lived, and I'm yet to find someone who doesn't love to speak about themselves. We all have this ability, don't we, to speak about ourselves, what we're interested in, and for many people it's really easy for us to let them know who we are. People love to be known. I was recently told about a website that helps people write their own story. In fact, we know someone who's currently writing their own story, and every time we sit down to talk to that person, they tell us more of their life again and again. But all of us have this desire to be known. We want people to understand where we've come from, what we like. Because when we're known and connected, we feel welcome and recognised and supported, and we gain a huge sense of belonging, being part of a community, the community here at church. It means that you are known. And for many of us, we gain a real sense of belonging when people know us, know our circumstances, who we are, what has made us the person we are today. Now, it gets tricky when relationships aren't easy. When someone doesn't speak to someone else, it gets hard. And that stops us gaining this sense of belonging. Now, I don't presume to be an expert on this, on these things, but I do know that as a church, if someone new comes into this church and they don't get a sense of belonging, and they will soon leave the church and find somewhere else to go. A place where they do feel a sense of belonging. So it's actually important for us that we get to know new people. And the opposite of being known is being unknown, to not have a sense of belonging. And as we face the future, some of us might be scared that we end up as someone who is unknown, someone who doesn't belong. And many of us have experienced breakdown in relationships, and this breakdown in relationship can lead us to feeling like we don't belong. And as we look at the psalm today, what we're going to find is that we are completely known by God. And as a result, because we are known by God, we can face the future, not worried about being unknown, but thankful that God knows us completely. Now, today we continue our series called Future Proof. This is the series I'm doing throughout the holidays this year. And the background of this series carries with it the idea that knowledge of God helps us to live in the world around us with all the different things that are going on. In this series, we're looking at different doctrines of the Bible. This week and the next 2 weeks in the next holidays, we're looking at our doctrine of God. We're going to look at three aspects of God, and all three aspects come from this one psalm. This week we're looking at the omniscient God, the all-knowing God. And it's with this background of being known that we can face the future, knowing that we're completely and utterly known by God who created us. Now, if you look at this psalm as a whole, you can see that it speaks about an all-knowing God, an all-present God, and a can-do anything God. And we often refer to these three things as the three omnis. I don't know if you've heard that word, but omni means all, and then each of them have a different meaning. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God. They're the three omnis that we are, meaning that we are completely known, God is all present, and that God is all powerful. They're the three different things. We're going to look at all three, but today we're going to focus in on the omniscient God, which is the all-knowing God. And we're going to do that by looking at verses 1 to 6. And as you look at those verses, you'll see that it starts by saying that God knows his people. What does he know? Well, we see that we see four things that God knows about his people. You can see them in your outline in the bulletin if you've got that in front of you. And the first thing he knows is our heart. We see that in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. One of the things that we did this last week at the Refresh Conference, that's where I've been this last week, with Fiona and the kids, we've been away at a ministry workers camp for the Prezi Church. And what we did is we thought about ourselves. who we are, and we thought about different situations and how we respond to different situations. I found it a great reminder of many things I've experienced over the years, and it was helpful to be reminded of who I am and how I respond. It was like I was getting to know myself a little more. And here in this verse, David is saying that the Lord has searched him and known him. The searching out of David goes to his heart, and he is completely known by God. The Lord knows him completely. It's like saying that the thoughts of David that spring from his heart are known to God. Now, from what I've seen here, the searching of God is like a thorough examination to find out his thoughts and feelings. And in this continual searching out, it's revealed that David has been known to God. That's quite interesting, because it seems like there's nothing that God doesn't already know about David. He actually knows David perfectly. Now, for us, if we want to get to know someone, we need to ask questions. And depending on who's answering the questions, the person might give us some incomplete answers. But if we searched ourselves, we'd find out that actually maybe we don't know ourselves completely. But here we see that God knows you completely. He has known your heart always. There's nothing unknown to God. You are known by God far better than you know yourself. Even your thoughts are known to God. Even those thoughts that you forgot are known by God. And it's with this introduction that we go into some more detail of what God knows about us. In the second point, we see that God knows our actions. David is again speaking, and he says in verses 2 to 3, "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Every action David takes is known to God. Now we're getting into some details of how well David is known. Inconsequential things like sitting and standing, he's known how many times you've done that in this church. God knows them. The thoughts that David has about anything, God knows them. Wherever David goes, God knows where he is. In fact, every action taken by David is known to God. And we can finish this point by saying that David is perfectly known to God. Nothing is out of his knowledge, therefore God is omniscient, all-knowing. And it's here that we turn to the next point where it talks about David's words. But it's also foreknowledge of his words. Look at verse 4. "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Now, we're not talking about a couple who have known each other so long that they finish each other's sentences. But rather, the sentence is completely known to God before you even speak a word. Complete knowledge of everything we're going to say before we knew even say it. Sometimes I wish I knew what I was going to say before I say it. Sometimes I wish I hadn't said something after I said it. We can't even keep up with what comes out of our mouth sometimes. Yet in God's omniscience, God has knowledge not just of past events and actions, but foreknowledge or knowledge of who's going to say what even before it's said. And not just knowing the gist of what's going to be said, but complete knowledge of what will be said. Perfect knowledge that God, this is the perfect knowledge that God has of David. God knows his words perfectly. And again, we can finish this point by saying that David is perfectly known to God. Perfect foreknowledge of what David will say. Nothing is out of his knowledge. Therefore, God is omniscient, all-knowing. That's what this verse tells us. And now we come to the last point, this last area of knowledge that God has. And in verses 5 and 6, they tell us that God knows our life. God is involved in everything that David does. Look at verse 5. It says, "You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me." We probably say that God knows us inside out. There's nothing about us that he doesn't know. God has got David surrounded, encircled, and close in. Now, for those of you who sew, you know the importance of a hem. A hem is the stitching on the end of a garment that stops it from fraying. You hem in the skirt or the shorts or the pants, and once it's hemmed in, the garment is safe, isn't it? It's secure and won't fray. And I think that's what God's knowledge of David does for David. It hems him in. It protects him. This isn't a prison cell that locks him in, but it's protection for David that gives him freedom to live life, knowing that God has David's life in his hands. God knows him completely and perfectly. And listen to the response of David in verse 6. He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." See, what God knows about David's life is too great for him to even consider, to think about. It's beyond measure. David can hear what this means. He knows that God knows so much about him, his movements, his thoughts, his actions, even his heart. And what he realizes is that even trying to understand what God knows about him is far too wonderful for him, even to understand. It's so far out of reach for David that he sees it as too wonderful for David to understand. Now, when I think about something being too lofty and great to understand, my mind often races to the photos from the James Webb Space Telescope. I don't know if any of you like those photos, but I've got one for you here. They call this the Pillars of Creation. I didn't pick it because it had that title. I'm going to read something here. So this is a photo. This photo shows the tendrils of cosmic gas and dust near the Eagle Nebula. Okay? No doubt if Alan was here, he'd correct my language around these things. But I think the photo's amazing. Now, it's located around 7,000 light years from Earth. Now, I've always wondered, why do they speak in light years? Like, how are we supposed to understand how far that is? So I worked out how many kilometres it is. And the distance is 66 quadrillion, 225 trillion, 113 billion, 308 million, 65,600. Well, 7,000 light years is a lot easier, isn't it? It's a long way away. But when you consider these gassy pillars that we see in front of us, it is 50 light years wide and 70 light years long. To try and understand what it contains is far too great. We can try and comprehend what we see in the photo, but it's too much to understand it completely, isn't it? It's too lofty for us to understand. But with the photo, we have a chance of some understanding, don't we? But what David says here is that what David says in this psalm is that God's knowledge of us, of you and me, is so great that we can't comprehend how great it is. The word lofty in this passage refers to the knowledge that the Lord has of David. It's so high and great and exalted that David can't even understand how much God knows of him. And again, we can finish the point by saying that David is perfectly known to God. Nothing is out of his knowledge. Therefore, God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Thanks, Reuben. I was reading about the omniscient God, and I came across this summary from Tozer about God, which I think is actually really helpful. And now that we've looked at, you know, how much God knows of us, I think it would be worth me reading this. He says, "Because God knows all things perfectly, he knows no thing better than another thing, but all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised, never amazed. He never wanders about anything, nor does he seek information or ask questions, except when drawing men out for their own good. This is our God. Understanding God, understanding that God knows everything, is a big thing for us. And from this picture of God knowing everything, we need to ask, well, what is our response to a God who knows everything about us? What does it mean for us that God is omniscient? Well, to think through what this means for us, we need to understand that Psalm 139 has two stanzas. If you've got a Bible, some of you have got your phone, but if you have a Bible, the first stanza is from verses 1 to 18. We looked at the first third of that. They call it a strophe. The first strophe. And there's three strophes in that stanza. But the second stanza is in verses 19 to 24. Now, these verses are really hard to read. We love to read verses 1 to 18, but often we leave out 19 to 24. They're ugly verses. They sound terrible. Many people skip over them and they prefer them not to be read. At the coronation of the king, they sang Psalm 139. Did you know this? And guess where they stopped? They stopped at verse 18. They didn't sing 19 to 24 because people don't like them. But these verses are the application of this psalm. You can't look at God's omniscience and not respond. And what better way to respond than use God's word itself to help us understand how we are to respond to God's perfect knowledge. So let's look at these last few verses and see what it says for us. Now it starts off in verse 19 with David crying to God to do something to those who ignore what the psalm tells us about God. He says in verse 19, "If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men." Now many of us look at those verses and many of us look at those who are not following Jesus, and maybe you've said to one another or you've heard a preacher say, and maybe you've even heard me say, we need to love the sinner, but we hate the sin. Not the sin. But David here takes it to another level, doesn't he? He says, slay the wicked. Slay them. Get them away from me. For David, he's saying, get rid of anyone who is not serving the living God. God, do something. He goes on in verse 20 using similar language. He says, they speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Those against God don't understand who God is. They've missed what David has just written in the first stanza of this psalm. And David says, they don't see it. They reject you. They're intent on being against you. And they treat you with contempt. And David's response is, well, get rid of them. Slay them. And as we look at this, we can see why so many people want to avoid reading this part of the psalm. I mean, isn't God a God of love? So why does David respond this way? Surely there's something about this that goes deeper than just kill everyone and deal out justice. And it's why we need to keep in mind what David has just said about God. David writes in this way because he has understood who God is. He knows the right response is to submit to the living Lord, not to respond rightly like a wicked person, a person intent on evil, or they're completely dishonouring God and who he's like and who he is. It's like they haven't seen his greatness. And as we look at this, we need to understand David's passion for right worship of God. To ignore the omniscient God is outrageous. To fail to listen to the omniscient God is ridiculous. You can't look at God like we've seen today and like we've seen today realise that he's all-knowing, he knows you perfectly and intimately, and then just walk away as if he's not God. The right response is to go to him, submit to him, love him, serve him, give your life to him. But David sees that people are not submitting to God. They're not listening to him. And in this case, they're active opponents of God. And so David's passion for the God who's been revealed to him grows strong. He's passionate for God to be followed rightly and correctly. Now, I think the hatred we see here is something we too would be against. When we see injustice, when we hear profanity, many of these things cause us pain for the sake of the gospel. What are your thoughts when you hear someone stand up against God? Do you get angry and upset? That's what's happening for David. And it's at that point that David asks God a question in verse 21. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. See, David believes that he's for God, and he believes that he's on God's side. But he asks God anyway, isn't this who I am? Don't I love you with all my heart? And he reminds himself of his hatred for those who hate God. David is making sure that he's on the right side. Has he failed to see who the Lord is? And then he finishes in verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, know me. We've seen that God knows all things. We've seen that God's knowledge is perfect. And now David says, well, search me, know me. And while you're there, let me know if there's something in me that is offensive to you. In other words, David wants help to see his own sin. He wants to make sure that he's responding rightly to the omniscient God. And this is where we see that knowledge of God should lead us to the cross, lead us to seek mercy from God. See, knowing that God knows us completely should help us turn to him and seek forgiveness through Jesus Christ. See, at the end of the day, none of us measure up to who God wants us to be. And David realizes this. He wants God to search him out and correct him. David's seen and understood the omniscient God, and the right response is, clean me up, get rid of any offensive way in me, clean me. Now for us today, this is the right response too, isn't it? We've seen how amazing our God is. And we say to him, forgive me. Seek out any offensive way in me and make me your child. We don't want to be like those who profane your name and have evil intent. It's been a week since Easter, and we saw clearly the death and resurrection of Jesus, that it brings us forgiveness. And here we stand a week later looking at our amazing God, looking at how great he is. And the right response is, we'll fall at Jesus' feet and seek forgiveness. To realize that the omniscient God has got you in his hands and that he is the one who holds you tight. See, don't walk out of the service today thinking that you have secrets from God. Don't walk out today thinking that God is like you and me and still has things to learn, that maybe we could tell him a thing or two. We can't do that. But walk out of here today knowing that God is all-knowing. He knows everything about you, and the words that you will speak at morning tea, he knows them. He also knows the future, your future. He knows every one of your days, and he knows your heart completely. And that is a great thing, because you are fully known to God. So go to him. Trust him. Know that you are loved by God, who knows you more than you can imagine. And he wants you to be with him. What a great God we have, eh? Let's pray. Father God, we thank and praise you, for you are our great God. Lord, help us to see you and know you more clearly. Help us to realize that we are known by you. Lord, we pray that you continue to help us to turn to your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the forgiveness you have for us. And even though you know us completely, Lord, you still forgive us. Lord, we pray and ask that you give us a big vision of who you are. And we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.